McLeod, Councilman Hilty, and Mayor Kent Quinn. I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Mondell.
Thank you, President McLeod. Welcome, and it's a great day to be here at Fort King. Celebration of sorts. I know the city's been working with the county and a number of our volunteer citizens for a number of years of bringing this historic site into fruition for public access. So the first part of our meeting today will be to hear a presentation from the Heritage Association. And that should last maybe 15 or 20 minutes. And of course, if you have any questions, feel free to ask as they go along. And once they're completed, then the second part of today, we'll have a brief presentation from Recreation and Parks staff to update you on some of the activities that are occurring in our parks. And we're hoping to wrap all this up within about an hour or so. So what I'd like to do is actually turn it over to Brent Malover for just a second. We'd like to provide some introductory time.
Thank you, Mark. First thing, let me thank the city and all the staff for getting us out here today. I think it's a real big honor and a privilege to have such a nice place to come to. I'd like to introduce Maury Dean and where's Henry? Henry's our president of the Fort King Society, and Maury is the vice president. But we all started this together, and I was on the committee, what was it, 5 years ago, 6 years ago. We had a vision in the group, and this was the vision, and we're just getting started. But with that, I want all of, is your board here, a lot of them?
Carl's here.
Would you introduce them to the group, please?
Well, Carl Boxgotter.
Hey, Corey.
Gloria is with the Daughters of American Revolution, and she serves at the Daughters of American Revolution have a position as a trustee on the board. But Gloria's also one of our volunteers here at the center. So
she's also a board. She's also a director.
And she, oh, that's right. We have a change. She's now a director. And it's confused.
Well, anyway, I'm glad to have her here, and she's been right with us since the start. And now I'm not on the board. I'm
ex officio.
Ex officio, whatever. But anyway,
nuisance.
Nuisance is one. Also, I want to thank Kathy and her staff, what has done a wonderful job out here, as y'all can see. And it's been working together is private and the public. It shows you what can happen and what we can put together. The county has been good to us too, but they need to get a little bit better. And I look, that's not a slap at them, but it's that they like to help more. I'm real thrilled to be here today. I'm really energetic about this project. It means a lot to me, being a native of Ocala and playing out here when it was all dirt roads. And Maury has too, and a few of us. And it's just amazing what has been done. If you walk with the staff, if you haven't been down the trails, you need to take a ride down and look at it. There's a lot needs to be done, but look where we are after 5 years. And I'm going to turn it over to Maury now. Thank you.
So we're glad to have all of you here. We're going to show you a short 5-minute video here and give you a little background on the importance of Fort King, and that Henry is going to share a couple of thoughts with you, and then if you have any questions, that kind of thing, you can work with the, any questions. Reservation of 48 acres, extending for more of the present day of Galilee, AK-14 was constructed by the U.S. Army in 1827 to main long-wing pines. It was America's first attempt to establish a presence in the interior of unmapped wilderness Florida. 14 became the headquarters of the United States Army in the territory of Florida and was responsible for the preservation of Simone. On this hilltop, outside the fort, occurred some of the most historic and dramatic scenes in American history. Your government agents told the Seminoles they must leave Florida or they would be removed by force. Here the Seminole war chief, Osceola, first became known to the world. A leader who, after 5 years under the 30-year treaty, told the Seminoles they must relocate to Oklahoma. A leader who stood up to the military officials by telling them, "We want to keep our home here in Florida." Here you can stand in his footsteps as he slams his knife into the informed corner and challenges the government to use their force. Osceola's well, this is our land. You have guns, so have we. Your men will fight, so will ours. The last drop of our blood poisons the sand. Here's the Indian agent Wiley Thompson, former U.S. Congressman and commander of the Georgia militia, who placed Osceola in irons. Your military site is a place where Osceola and his warriors killed Wiley Thompson, beginning the Second Seminole War, December the 28th of 1835. On that same fateful day, Major Dave in command of 108 soldiers were massacred on the 14th Road near present day Bushland. During the 7 years Second Seminole War, 1835-1842, 14 garrisons kept regiments of the U.S. Army. Here stood the West Point Office, and you took 25 years later. You command the massive armies of the North and the South during the American Civil War. Here stood and served not only the regular soldiers of the U.S. Army, but the state militia and the Congress who were making separations. This blending of military units brought many challenges to military leadership. The challenge of effectiveness tactically, environmentally, logistically, and militarily. Here's the thousands of rank and file enlisted men of the U.S. Army, many being immigrants from England, Ireland, and Scotland, seeking a better life in America. Here's the trappers, traders, pioneers, bounty hunters, and black American slaves. Here's the Army colonel, whose name would be immortalized in American folklore, Ichabod Crane. Also on this hilltop, in the wilderness, to the future president of the United States, Colonel Zachary Taylor. These were the beginning of locality here in Canada. After his death in captivity, Osceola was buried with full military honors outside the walls of Fort Moultrie, South Carolina, and inscribed on his headstone by the U.S. Army by the words, "Osceola, patriot and warrior, died January 30th of 1838. Here at 14, we can study patriotism, leadership, service, sacrifice, lifestyles, cultures, military strategies, victory and defeat as part of pure American history, and all of which occurred in our very midst. At 14, we can become one with our past, learn from it, and become a better people because of it." Lieutenant Prince, who served here at 14, referred to 14 in his diary as the King of 14. This submission to the 14 Heritage Association to reconstruct 14 on its original site as a permanent memorial and in remembrance of the sacrifice and service which gave us as a community, as a state, and as a nation such a historically rich chapter in American history. Thank you. Wanted to give you just a few pieces of information that we've kind of accumulated over the past few years as we've developed buildings related to the fort. To begin with, I wanted to thank you all for coming out and visiting the site. Not only is Fort King a special place because of its own history, most people don't realize that this was our first courthouse in Tarrant County. The first sheriff, the first county commission, the first clerk of the court, the first tax collector and all served 2 years right in that fort right there on this hilltop. It's also kind of ironic that we've got such a beautiful hilltop that from the hilltop out here, but for the spring that we have, is a difference of 50 feet in elevation right in the middle of the community. And it's such a beautiful site. When you go down and look at the area down near the creek down there, and did you get by there to see that? That's almost like prehistoric rock. So look and see those trees and the greenery and stuff. And we're just so fortunate to have it preserved. So it's really neat. As you can see from the map in here, Ocala at Fort King has always been the center of Florida. And all the roads led here. That's pretty significant. Sometimes think that that's a modern item, but it's not. It goes back centuries. And for whatever reason, Ocala was very special. The fort that you've seen up here and here is the one that we eventually have as a goal, collectively, to be able to reconstruct on this hilltop and let future generations realize what we have here. The neat part about it is that within 9 years, depending on how long it takes us actually to build the fort, within 9 years, we're going to start over 20 years of the 200th anniversary of the history of the site. So all the future generations over the next 20 to 30 years are going to gain an appreciation of our heritage. I was awestruck as a kid not to know any of this, even though I rode past here often through the woods and up my horse drinking the creek. But I had no idea of our heritage. We have a rich heritage. This was the first chapter in American history. The people that came here, Winfield Scott, Edmund Gaines, the Gaines was named after, not to mention Zachary Taylor, Osceola becoming famous to the world. Before Afghanistan, the battle that started here, the war that started here, was actually the longest war that America has ever fought. Most people don't know that. A lot of military people don't know that. That's how historic this site is. There's a variety of other charts, just a short timeline in here with a picture of some of the detail of the fort, if you want to look at that. You'll also see this is the first screen in the movie Seminole, a movie that was made in 1952 and tells the story of Osceola and Fort King and what happened here. It would be our hope that in future years this becomes more of a significant destination, not only locally, but in the state and around the country, that these opportunities will come again. I know I have talked to some folks that I know in D.C. and stuff that set up some of this type of stuff, and they're interested to hear about it. So that's always a possibility. We started with a great vision. We wanted to get the park open, which that's occurred, and we're very happy and thankful for that. Another thing it mentions down here is about the botanical park. Some of the folks that are botanists that came and helped us on the opening were so awestruck with the number of plants and stuff that we have. On this 37 acres, there's five types of pine trees.
Excuse me.
On this site, we have got plants that are native from here south and native from here north. And these folks were just awestruck and just as excited. You would have thought we'd had another battle out here. They were so excited. They came here about 4 or 5 times to prepare. So that's all something that's neat too. The trail that we have, the pink part that's in there is actually what we use as maintenance trails and for emergency access and that kind of thing. Been a lot of preparation planning. Actually, the fire department's got one of their vehicles out here that they keep it in the garage here. That's the main one that in case anybody's down here and gets hurt or something like that. They got the equipment right here, and it's still accessible for them to use anywhere in the city. But a mile of trail, Henry's going to talk to you about that. Henry, come on up and let you kind of pick up from there. On sale, we can't say enough about on sale. It was a great addition for the city to have that. The last 2 weeks of May, the first 2 weeks of June, of all the on sale sites in the world, 14 was number one. We had hits from not only this area, but had hits from all over Florida, Miami, Coral Gables, Jacksonville, Tampa, Orlando, had hits from New York, Bellevue, Washington, Atlanta, Paris, France, Bavaria, Germany. So we're pleased with that, because what it's doing is not only talking about 14, it's talking about our community, because we've got all the other information on the other parks and stuff on there as well. So that's pretty exciting. It's getting our message as a community out to the world. So that's pretty neat. We want this to be a continued effort to where we can have great programs and events. We want this to be a living history park, not just a static living history park. We've got people already starting to volunteer that want to be role players and that kind of thing. The school system wants to bring kids over here. They're excited they can come here and maybe not have to go to St. Augustine. So all that's pretty neat. But we want to bring the history alive. That's pretty neat. We set some parts of things. We had some meeting already talking about expectancy, but our expectations of helping this living history component grow, making Ocala a destination, not only in Florida and the community, but around the nation, the military history, the capability of the military history that took place here and the people that were involved is very significant. What you heard up here is about that much. And with that being said, I'm very finished. If you've got some real technical questions, he's got to
ask. Yeah. Just a little history, Sally, for you. Who knows why we're sitting here? Cameron. Why was 14 located on this hill? Well, I'll tell you. Part of the story is whenever I'm going to go to a place, a spot in America, why here? We're here for a reason. 14 was located here for a reason. When Florida was acquired from Spain in 1821, we acquired the Indians along the deal. At that time in America, the government was placing Indians under reservations, supposedly for their own goods that really eventually moved out west. That's what the reservation order referred to here, south of here. So the second step was to appoint an agent, an Indian agent. The first Indian agent for the Seminoles was a retired Army colonel by the name of Gad Humphreys, fought in the War of 1812. He was from New York. He was told after the Treaty of Ultra Creek to come down here, find a place to build, put the agency, find the biggest concentration of Seminole villages, and locate your agency building in the middle of it. That he did, and that location was at the intersection of Mirror Camp and Phillips Avenue, south of 2.5 miles, in fact, southwest of here. That was in January 1825. Sometime after that, say February 1825, because the only way to get in here was by trails, Indian trails. There were no roads, there were no interstates. This is an unmapped primeval wilderness. Having established his agency down here and got settled in, he realized that it would be nice to have river access instead of this long haul from Jacksonville area or Tampa up these Indian trails by oxen and bringing supplies. He was ordered, challenged, required to provide blankets and implements and canoes to the Indians. He asked the Seminole leader, we do not know the man's name or woman, where is the closest place that I can find a riverboat landing? The Indian said, I'll show you. It's 5 miles northeast of this spot down there. So they began walking. They crossed this hill. if you draw a straight line between the intersection of Maricamp and 30th and Silver Springs, straight line as the crow flies, it goes right on top of this hill. This hill is halfway, exactly halfway between that intersection and Silver Springs. Unknown to the world, never seen by William Barker, never seen or recorded by the Spanish or the French or any of the Spanish missions. They crossed this hill, and Humphreys, being a military man, knew he was looking for what he eventually realized he'd have to have a military fort to protect his Indian agents and protect himself. So he crossed this spot. He saw the ingredients of a good place to put a high defensible hill and a source of drinking water, the two requirements for a fort, halfway. Now, he didn't know what he was going to come upon. But as he and the Indian guide crossed this hill, the surgeon was looking here, he eventually reported to the governor, Duval, this is where to go for. They pushed on and reached the spring. It came across as an unknown spring, but it was the great spring of the Ocala. They pushed their way through, and there stood, he was the first American to see the largest, greatest spring in the world. It had to be discovered by land. In other words, it was not discoverable by water, because all the other springs in Florida were by this time. It's something included. Nobody could navigate the rivers. Nobody could navigate the Ocala. There was miles and miles of dead trees across the river. So, and the discharge from the spring was masked by the huge flow from Lake Griffin and all the rivers south of here. So he came upon and he called it the Silver Spring. It was discovered by land, just like San Francisco Bay. San Francisco Bay, the greatest bay in the world, was discovered by land because for 200 years, ships going across the Golden Gate could not see the entrance to San Francisco. They were so small, they always found and fall. The Spanish army discovered it in 1707. Fascinating story. Thereafter, Humphreys was blown away by it. He began getting tours of it, taking army lieutenants, including George and Paul, and rowboats out, going stationary in the middle and dropping buttons down 40 feet to the bottom and reporting seeing the holes in the buttons. By 1880, thousands of tourists were coming in here on riverboats up through Silver Spring. But it was here then, in 1827, that the army walked to this point and constructed the fort on the place where Humphreys said to locate it. No pictures here. We have great visions for this site. We've opened it with a trail just to allow the public to come in and experience what we want to create, which is a fort in the forest. That's what this was. When this fort was here, there was no Disney World. There were no highways. There were just hundreds of miles of primeval forest. So as somebody visits this place, this is what they're going to feel. There are no tennis courts on the site. It's going to be a wilderness experience. And as you walk the trail, I've laid it out. I wrote all the narratives. It's kind of like reading a book. You can read each trail sign is kind of a chapter in the book. You'll want to finish reading it all in one second, come back and pick up where you left off, and you'll work your way back. Beyond this, we will present plans to this council that will include reconstructing this fort. That was sketched here in 1839. We would like to construct a first-class visitor center. We would like to construct along the trail some living history sites, villages, cabins, what have you in time. We can expand this thing all with history, all with living history, taking people back in time, escaping from their existing humdrums and problems, putting them back in the field of the psychological escape. This is a place, I'll say this at the opening ceremonies, that is unlike any other park. You are not going to be acted upon here like you would at Disney. Here you are going to be inspired to act. You're going to learn from this and put yourself in the footsteps of people who have been here before. That's all I have to say. Thank you for coming. Look forward to continuing to work with everybody here as we move here. Dawn?
Thank you. Park is currently under construction.
If people come with on sale, they can actually put this on and just listen to the audio after walking along the trail. They don't actually have to be assigned. So you can actually get this as you're going from one location to another. And it tells you all about that particular historical area.
Warren, can you talk a little bit about how fundraising's going and, you know, what's happening there?
Well, we know that there's going to take a considerable amount of fundraising to do the kinds of things we want to continue to do. We've been looking to host a big fundraising event. Needless to say, with us not having the park open and stuff, that's been difficult to do.
Mm-hmm.
So that's basically one of the next efforts is for us to have a big fundraising event. We want to have it actually here on the site. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of create some of the atmosphere of the 1830s as part of that and invite the community to come. We've been pleased. We've been getting donations. I just got a check the other day for $500. We had somebody came in the other day, wrote one for $100. We had small, you know, donations in that category. But if we hold, I think a big event. The interest in the community has just been tremendous. I mean, they called me to come and do a presentation the other night over here at the First 14th Presbyterian Church. They said, golly, y'all are next door. They had about 45 people there, and they were just enthralled. They listened to the three presentations, and when they heard about 14, they were just all over. And next day, we had four or five people that came over here to the site. And right now, having the 4 days, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, needless to say, as we can grow in volunteers and stuff, our goal would be to try and expand it and make it a little bit more convenient.
Mr. Mayor?
Just to what Council President was saying as far as fundraising, and we approached the Seminoles as far as, them donating any money. I mean, they got a little gambling operation down in Tampa that's doing pretty good.
We've had some folks talking with them kind of indirectly. In all honesty, like a lot of folks, they like to see what you're going to do. They're not going to pull money down the hole. They're not going to pull money into something that's not going anywhere. So they want to see. So we've not tried to jump on that. Eventually, we want this to have a museum visitor center that will be secure. This item right here, found on this property, gold coupling, Andrew Jackson picture name on it.
Wow.
One of only, as we know, a couple of them in existence. He gave these only to his special closest friends. Molly Thompson was one of those. And that's probably explains why it was down here on the site. But that's a priceless item. I mean, we're not even trying to display it right now because, we need to really secure stuff like that.
Well, I guess my other question when you brought that up, I mean, is flags right here from the 7th Cavalry from the United States Army. And then you've got a piece of property across the street here, the DAR. I don't know what the ownership situation is there, but I mean, are we going to do anything to honor and recognize the soldiers that came here?
Yes.
And defend the citizens that were slaughtered by these Indians?
DAR has been working and has reached a agreement to bring to y'all. And basically, they're willing to make their property a part of this for a 99-year lease for the okay. here to give us that. And we've already got a rendering to beautify it.
Oh, that is it?
Yes.
Oh, good.
Okay.
Right here. And to start some memorial types of programs.
Awesome.
The state West Point Association started doing that in St. Augustine at the site of St. Augustine, which is a site. Actually, everybody that was killed in the entire Civil War is buried under those two pyramids over in
St. Augustine.
Yes. But it doesn't mean that we don't want to memorialize what happened here with you. So along that line, we've got enough West Point folks locally here that will help us do the same thing. They normally do that in August, and if we get things kind of where we're ready for it, we'll try and do something.
Let us know what we can do to help out on that, and I would love to help out with that.
That would be great.
Yeah.
Well, they just had their second event for that in St. Augustine, so
we do it every August.
That's when they chose to do it, because that's when they actually brought all the remains over there, and they had a, back in the 1800s, had a huge ceremony, had a caravan of like, I don't know, 60 or 70 wagons with all the remains, and they did a really special thing. But they're all right ahead of those two pyramids.
You know, I've mentioned several times, you know, how important I think the whole process here and then reconstruction before it is. How can we be further assistance for what we're doing? I mean, what can we do to help this along? You know, I know what we've done so far, but to even do more.
I think the best thing is just having folks in the engineering department that wants have been trying to work with Tillman. David Tillman's brother is already working on the construction plans for the fort. They are also working on a three-dimensional video of the fort, which is going to be tremendous in telling the story. I mean, you be able to kind of come out of the clouds, come down over the fort, walk up to the front gate, and find home, which is going to be tremendous. Trying to look towards other alternative ways of funding and stuff certainly would be helpful, particularly as we take these things in stages. When they built the fort in the 1830s, they threw it up, you know, didn't have to go through code and wind load and all this kind of stuff. It was more like, I don't want to get shot, let's build it. So, pretty, you got your stalker pretty put out here, but not me. But anyway, I think that the more that we can kind of do in preparation, we need to do some site work. We need to, and we want to take those things in stages. Certainly when we get the building plans, we'll kind of have a better perspective on it.
Right.
And then being able to work on what we'll need in terms of, you know, permitting and stuff like that. But certainly avenues on funding and stuff.
Yeah, is there any state or federal funds that we could tap into?
I mean, we've not really gotten into all that yet. As such, there has been more funds available to do programming. We came close to doing that last summer, and it was just too short for Fuse. But some of those types of grants actually would bring people from around the country here.
Right. Maybe that's
educators and folks like that, which would be a tremendous thing again of bringing people to our community.
Well, when you're ready, maybe that's something we could assist with, and you know, I'm sure Mark and some of his team could help out.
Well, first thing we need is a vote. We have not, if we set this partnership up, we were this Forking Heritage Association was create the vision and present to the council. Like a trail, we did that with the trail, and you voted a site plan that you did, the body did, and approved it, and we moved ahead with it. That does not include the fort on that. So we will, it does now, this is, we located the corners before we plan to build it.
If you see the markers out there.
Yes.
There's a red post on the corner. We, at this point, need to have a motion.
We need to bring you a proposal.
Yeah, we'd like to bring you a proposal.
At council.
Yes.
Yeah. Not here.
And so when we get a building plan, which we can say, here's what is being proposed and recommended, that kind of thing, and we can give you some more divinity.
Okay.
Well, there was a time when we weren't sure that we had the support to build the floor. Hopefully we're past that. Most everybody out in Watson had a fort reconstructed here. So in concept, I think maybe it could be before we complete engineering drawings, because that could be the engineering drawings that will be submitted to you will also be approved. This is, you agree or don't agree?
Mm-hmm.
I 100% support what you're doing, 100%. Here's the question, you kind of brought it up, and I say this in jest, but is this fort going to have to meet code?
Yes.
With firewalls and handicap access and elevators up in that tower? And I mean, seriously.
Yeah, the short answer, the reality, the short answer is yes, because this is going to be a This is going to be a public structure, public, it's not, this is not an image to look at. This is going to be a facility that occupy for at least a period of time through touring. But having said that, it's not one extreme or the other necessarily. It's not necessarily that because it has to meet code, therefore it will be infeasible to build because it needs to, what we need to do is we need to sit down with them and their engineers. And we may, if we need to, we may need to bring in some other consultants who have specialized working with cities on making sure that we're favorably interpreting the code. We'll work with them on those types of issues.
But perhaps the inside of it behind those walls could be the part that's built the code, and the actual outside structure could be historic and, you know, look like it looked.
And our feeling is we want to try and build as much of it as we can, exactly as we can.
Right, exactly.
And, I mean, it wasn't necessarily a refined type structure that kind of had a lot of characters and go to.
If the fort is going to be built like a picket fence to get archaeological buy-in from our archaeologist, Gary Ellis, he's agreed to support it from the context that we imagine building a fence, 8 foot post, but 10 foot apart. We will pay him to clear every post hole and do archaeological examination all around this 150-foot square. That's a fence. We will not put the picket, the post, in between those in the earth. We'll put them right down to the earth. Inside, the buildings that would be done inside, on one of the drawings here, the guard tower and the barracks and what have you, but also these whole structures, barns. So there'll be minimal excavation, which will facilitate the approval process permit wise. Now, that sketch. The code, unless we get federal monies, we're not counting on, we're going to build some local monies. So we're going to use our own codes. Well, first of all, we're going to build so it doesn't blow over.
Right.
I'm an engineer, so I want to withstand some winds.
Sure.
We may put some lightning protection on it, but there's not going to be water inside towards the meeting and visitor center, for instance. We're not sure about lighting. So there's those trigger certain code requirements. So it all depends on what supporting features that we put in it. Certainly we both put electrical in it.
I'm sure there's going to be a happy meeting that we could get this done. I mean, we could make it happen. So
I think so.
Yeah,
Mike said is there. We're going to build it just like. Well, I took over the presidency in January. I said we're going to open this park by June, and we did, May 31st. Mm-hmm. It's been the public secured this park 10 years ago. I've been working with it 14 years, and we're open. I mean, that's a pretty big accomplishment, I think, for all of us. Mm-hmm.
Along those lines, you just kind of brought this up with it, that there's a trail of Florida's Indian heritage of the different sites. Folks around Florida, particularly part of Georgia, are really glad to see all this come about. This was the headquarters for the whole territory of Florida. So this was the place, the central place. It wasn't in Tampa, it wasn't in St. Augustine, it was right here. That's significant. I was talking to the folks, AAA, they were excited about hearing it, and they said as quickly as we can, they'd like to put something in their booklets and that kind of thing. We want this to be a destination. We talked, the folks at Silver River are on board with what we're doing. We're looking to share different things and stuff. We've shared stuff already with the Veterans Park, all this relates to all that, the military, that sort of thing. Silver Springs, I was on the advisory committee with many different folks that were on that. Talked with them a good bit about it, and several times they told me, they said, they can envision within not too distant future guys in uniform and Indians walking Silver Springs. What better thing than to say, you don't go to someplace down the woods at Silver Springs, you can come to the actual place right here. So as we develop this, we want all of that to come together. This is not just about us, it's about our community. And this is a awesome piece of history to share with the state and the nation, because this is American history.
You know, I'm sorry. Just, you know, at our TPO meeting yesterday, the bike path from Silver Springs to downtown Ocala is supposed to come right along by here also.
Yes.
So that's going to be important at some point.
Yes. We've talked with them. They, you know, they're looking to do something like that to tie us into the Greenway eventually with all that.
All of it. That's...
And so we're excited about all that, because what that will do is also allow other kinds of events. I mean, you know, Bellevue's got... 9 mile pond. It was 9 mile pond because it was 9 miles from Bellevue to Ocala.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what better way than to, you know, accentuate for us and Bellevue and the county and everybody else, the business community, you know, to have people come here for all these different kinds of events, whether it be running or biking or whatever.
And you're going to allow a reenactment or something like that here? Or, you know, they do reenactments down at Silver River. Would you...
You know, we're not looking to jump into the big reenactments, but we'll have an opportunity to. I mean, part of what we've done in terms of the way this is laid out here is that, you know, we've got a beautiful hill here that we want to see become more natural and perspective, but actually do some live type theater productions out here on the hillside. You know? Maybe have some outside movies, the Seminole or whatever, out here. Bring your popcorn and enjoy yourself. 14. Let the community enjoy this. I mean, it's part of our heritage.
Well, we're getting some food.
It's not just some entertainment place. It's our heritage.
We haven't even been on a month yet.
Yeah.
But we're getting some good feedback from people that take their hiking trail. One comment is that there's not enough kids. I guess they get bored reading signs. So I certainly didn't put any effort into entertainment for the kids. However, it's not impossible that we could put shoot bow and arrows at targets out front with some archery feature. That step on the parks department, they would have to manage this. But that the fact that the kids is something that's an early piece of information that has come at us.
Put some rocks out on the trail or something, throw rocks, what I used to do.
Throw rocks?
When we did the opening, the Parks Department set up a thing for the kids, you know, got ordered some more plastic arrowheads, heads up. We were saying out there, and the kids just love it.
How many other forts were, in Florida?
A lot.
50.
How many?
50.
And most of them are the area that's been paved over. And at Fort Brook down in Tampa's a parking garage now. The one in Bushnell is still open.
That's what makes this
one. And then this one.
40 acres in the middle of the city. It's unheard of.
Yeah. And when you go down along the creek over there, what's amazing, everybody that's been down there, it is so quiet.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you don't hear any traffic.
It's so serene.
And that was our water source for the fort.
Yeah, I've actually heard rumors that they believe that one of DeSoto's campsites was just east of here, and along the Ocklawaha. So it's a lot of interesting things. Yeah,
is looking to do some more work. They've got some areas that they're looking to expand. I don't know what that's going to turn up.
Under Armistead, General Armistead, 1841, this fort was like Fort Benning. There were married housing. There were children born here in married housing quarters. These children became general during the Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
Later on.
And you heard in the presentation, every regiment of the U.S. Army in that time period served here. I don't know another place.
Yeah.
History where that happened.
So it's not just the 48. Yeah. I mean, it's the whole surrounding area, much greater support
right.
Site,
right.
Which is also part of our goal.
Well, we need to wrap up so we can move ahead. If y'all had any other quick questions.
I was just going to make a comment. You know, I'm glad you're doing this stuff across the street with the soldiers and stuff. I mean, I'd like to obviously give equal billing to, you know, men that came down here and protected the citizens and the soldiers, United States Army and 7th Cal. You know, I know you're doing a lot of great things with the military, so
That's more.
I'm sure it's a good hit with you. And you had, you know, you not only had, I mean, we had a small number of regulars, but a lot of the militia coming in stuff. I've got a cousin who's the USFPO, which is the head finance guy and logistics guy from that part of Georgia. And was up visiting him about a month ago and stuff, and he didn't know anything about a lot of Thompson.
Really?
But he was in charge of the militias in the 1830s.
Really?
Yeah. But we're communicating right now with some historians from their side.
Right.
To go back in, because we don't have a picture of
the father. What was your highest rank, colonel?
Major.
Major. I was up for captain. I was lieutenant in Vietnam War. So you're looking at two military men. We're running this thing off military operation.
Good.
Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, gentlemen.
Thank you all very much. Thanks for coming and being here. And Kathy is going to pick up and has got a bunch of other.
No, we're not going to cover the other projects. I'll bring it to you next week, next council meeting, because it's
time.
We want to have y'all out of here in time. But I do want to say, you know, you've asked a couple times what you can do, and I know Henry and I have had a conversation many times about, you know, what do you need from the Fort King Heritage Association? What's our goal? And really, they've done a phenomenal job in advocacy and planning for this site. And I think that is where they've served us very well. And I think that when you all are out talking to other elected officials, if you can just help to keep it on the radar. This is not a project that we can take on, the city of Ocala. I feel we can't take it on alone. We haven't taken it on alone. We've, and even in the past, we've got a lot of support at the state level and the federal level, and we need to keep it that way. It's not that now that we have the property, it's all ours to handle. It's a large undertaking. Henry doesn't even live in Marion County. So the fact that he spends the amount of time and effort that he does in moving this project forward is pretty phenomenal. So the county, when they talk about sales tax, it's probably, if I had to say, there was a project from my camp that I think is the most important project to keep on that radar. And I know who knows what's going to happen with sales tax, but Fort King is a project that the county and the city should be going in on together. And again, you hit the nail on the head. The county is a participant and they are a partner and they do care about this project. We just need to make sure when it comes to dollars and cents that those priorities are there for this project. The guy at the state level who was at Florida Communities Trust when we wrote the grant to purchase the property, Grant Gellhart, he is now with the Division of Historic Resources of the state, so it is very much on his radar. When we start to get to that point where we start to identify those grants that are most appropriate, he's already got that in his mind. He loves this property. He's been here many times, so I think we have a friend up there as well. So that's all I'm going to say. I was going to do a project update on everything else we have going on, but we'll let you leave with your mind full of Fort King, and then we'll circle back on those projects at another time.
Okay.
Thanks.
Council members, anything else today then? Any comments or?
It's a great project.
Yeah.
A lot of people drive by here all the time who don't know. They're now starting to know a little more. We need to keep the focus on it.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree 110%. Much as we can do to help out, and let's.
Part of what we need, you know, to continue to grow is to create another destination in Ocala.
Right.
You know, the more destinations we can create, the more people we can grow.
Yeah, I guess from our standpoint too, we could also help by lobbying the other elected officials. You know, if they haven't been out here to get out here, and let's all get together.
The county commission is hesitant to increase the tourist development tax, but that's one of the things that they should be right on their radar. Of course, those dollars could help promote. I mean, that's what they're for, to help promote these things.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree.
Like you were saying, it's another reason to come to Ocala, Marion County, and spend time going to all these different venues, and which requires spending the night.
And the fact that the bike path is going to go right by here,
right.
Very important, because it's a natural place for somebody to stop off and rest and sit down and cool off for a little bit.
Now you all see why I get so enthusiastic being around these guys. And I was on their board for 3 years.
Can we find Henry a house in Ocala?
Yeah.
We got a spare room in the
back. Well, it's probably more of a memorial. Henry, any complaints from the neighbors at all about what might be happening with the pick up traffic or any concerns?
We have done everything to make sure we're good neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
And we've tried to, even when we had the opening and stuff like that, we removed parks and that kind of thing. We tried to keep as much all the parking as we could out of here. I am most impressed because of how many volunteers we got from the neighborhood.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. And not only have volunteered, they're coming over and making donations and that kind of thing. Too. Yeah. And they're excited about being here.
Engaging and keeping involved.
When we talked to any of them, we said, look, if you have any problems or concerns, please let us know. Because we want to try and do everything to make sure that we're good neighbors.
And I'll give.
That's a key.
And I'll give you my donation after the meeting. So.
Thank you.
Anything else, anyone? Okay. We're adjourned.
Okay. Thank you.
I think they got lunch and all over here for you, so.
And did you say that there has someone to take some golf cart down?
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, I want to see that spring.
Yeah.
I see
the fishing here. Yeah, I thought you might have a question. Talk to those idiots.
How do you get on South?
I can't get committed to.